Time for the latest world sport from the BBC with me, Chris Mitchell. The headlines for you. Records are broken as Australia's cricketers play out a draw against South Africa in Brisbane. And in tennis.
Big forehand cross court by Federer. Sits up for him. Hits an off forehand. Comes into the net. Oh, what a way to finish it by Djokovic. Down the line with the backhand. And he underlines his supremacy as the world number one.
Novak Djokovic wins the ATP Tour Finals Championship in London. Let's start with the cricket, though, and the first rain-affected test between South Africa and Australia has ended in a draw. South Africa's batsmen dug in on the final day after Australia's Michael Clarke followed a record-breaking score with an aggressive declaration. Clarke took his overnight tally of 218 to 259 not out, the highest ever test innings at the Gabba. And then he declared with a lead of 115 an hour before lunch. South Africa suffered some early wobbles in their reply but reached tee on 114 for 3 and pressed on to 166 for 5 in a quiet evening session before stumps were drawn. The South Africa captain, Graham Smith, told Australia's ABC network that the loss of his batsman JP Duminy to injury before the match began had an impact on what was a strange test match.
It was a weird game. I thought we set up the game well. The rain on day two probably put us under a little bit of pressure to make a play. I mean, it was unfortunate for us to lose JP in the game. You know, our balance was a little bit out, and you know, he was the guy we were relying on to do a little bit of a spin roll for us. So, you know, but all in all, I think, after 42 for 3, I think we had had a really good start to the game. We never quite backed that up. And Australia with Michael and Cowan really took the game to us and played really well.
Seems like you got it very right with your decision to bat. Were you as right to leave out the spinner?
Well, you know, I didn't expect JP to tear his Achilles tendon on day one. You know, we felt that he would play as big a role as maybe Lyon would on this wicket. And, you know, I think, you know, losing him made life tough. It meant a few of us are real part-timers had to perform a role. But, I think we move on to Adelaide and renewed strength and fresh for what will hopefully happen there.
Those of us that observe the game love to look at the little elements and we wonder whether Australia's taken moral high ground, the fact that they were able to bat so well and get a bit of a lead here. Is that any issue going to Adelaide?
No, not really. I think our bowlers, you know, a mature group and honest. There are a few things that we need to improve on. But our guys have proven over time and time again that they've got the skills to do that. I mean, the wicket played really well as the game went on. I don't think it really had the pace and bounce and the zip that everyone was talking about. And we got the first one out the way, and I think we'll definitely improve for the next one.
Australia's batsman Mike Hussey scored his 16th test century in the match, but afterwards he praised Michael Clarke, who hit that double century, and their opener Ed Cowan, who made his maiden test century in the match.
I think it was a pretty good test match, really. I think both teams had to fight pretty hard at certain stages throughout the game. And, it's 0-0 going into Adelaide. So I don't know if any team can take any momentum or any more positives than the other out of the test match. But certainly I think a pretty good performance from both teams.
Well, I think from an Australian perspective, surely there's got to be a lot of confidence gained in the way that you've batted and were able to put South Africa back under pressure in a test match where it seemed that Australia was under pressure for a long time.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of credit's got to go to Michael Clarke and Eddie Cowan. The way they played under enormous pressure was just fantastic. They were really positive. Their defence was outstanding and had to stand up to a sustained South African attack of good pressure. So a lot of credit has to go to those two. They did a lot of hard yards for the boys, for the rest of us coming in anyway, and it was a fantastic partnership.
West Indies were 228 for 3 at tee in the first innings on the opening day of their first test against Bangladesh in Dakar. Kieran Powell, the opener, not out on 115. Chris Gayle, the other opener, was out for 24. England's bowler Stephen Finn is now unlikely to feature in the first test against India that starts on Thursday after missing training. As the BBC's cricket correspondent Jonathan Agnew reports, Finn's thigh strain is proving to be a real problem.
Finn cast a forlorn and frustrated figure watching from the sidelines as his teammates continued their preparations for the first test in earnest. It would have been too much of a gamble to field both Finn and Broad together without them both coming through stringent tests, and at least Broad was able to bowl at full pace today. If he suffers no reaction tomorrow and is able to repeat the exercise, Broad will be able to play with Bresnan replacing Finn on what looks to be a bare but evenly baked pitch.
To tennis here on the BBC World Service. At the climax of the men's professional tour, Serbia's Novak Djokovic cemented his place as the world number one when he beat Roger Federer 7-6, 7-5 to win the ATP World Tour Finals. Reflecting on Djokovic's victory, here's the BBC's tennis correspondent, Jonathan Overend.
As Djokovic strained every sinew and lurched into his backhand corner, almost recklessly sliding on the hard court, we had the perfect summary of why this era is so good. To hit a winner from that position would have been inconceivable in previous generations, but Djokovic made it, Federer stretching in vain with his volley attempt. It was an incredible shot to end an incredible ATP season. We had Murray's breakthrough success in New York, Federer's triumph at Wimbledon, and Nadal's latest conquest on the clay. But it's Djokovic's start to the year in Australia and the end in London, which makes him the standout performer again.
So the year began with victory in Australia for Djokovic and ended with a win in London. The Serbian world number one couldn't be happier with his form.
I was playing really great tennis throughout the whole week. The first match, you know, still feeling a little bit rusty on the court, but then, you know, I won against Andy. There was a big confidence booster for me, and then, you know, every match after that, I felt like I played really very very close to the top of my game. And and tonight, you know, whenever I needed to come up with some really good shots and really focus myself and you know, get every ball back into court, I've done that. So I cannot be more thrilled than I'm feeling now.
Well, afterwards, Roger Federer admitted that he had had his chances.
I think the quality was good, you know. I shouldn't have been broken as often as I was, you know, broken today. But then again, that obviously has something to do with Novak as well, you know. But overall, I think it was a great match. And, yeah, I think I played very well. And I was extremely close today.
It's been an intriguing season on the men's professional tour. And with his thoughts on it, here's the former Wimbledon champion, Boris Becker.
For the first time in a while, you had four different Grand Slam winners. Changed up at the number one ranking. Djokovic started the year as one. Federer took it over after his Wimbledon title. He had Andy Murray win the Olympics and the US Open. And then Djokovic with a great run now in the fall, being back to number one. So a very exciting tennis year again.
And looking ahead, how much does the sport need Rafael Nadal back?
Very much so. I was going to mention him at last. He's one of the most popular players ever. He's got an army of fans all around the world because of his personality and his style. And I wish him a speedy recovery, you know, first for himself, but obviously for tennis. You know, tennis is not the same without him, clearly. So we hope to see him back soon.
Aside from him, who's in pole position, do you feel, on the men's side? Or can one player be identified in that way?
Well, it looks like there's a new rivalry which has been around a while, but now it's for the top spot. In my opinion, that's between Djokovic and Murray. I believe those two, same age, know each other from the juniors, will play for Grand Slam titles in the future.
The thoughts of Boris Becker. There's one more big tournament to come this year, though. The final of the Davis Cup. That's between the Czech Republic and Spain. It gets underway in Prague on Friday. And we'll be bringing you all the excitement from that in Sports World on Saturday. Lee James is there for us. And our programme gets underway at 15 hours GMT. Just a note from the NBA. LeBron James scored a season-high 38 points. Chris Bosh, his teammate, had 24 and 10 rebounds as the Miami Heat rallied to beat the Houston Rockets 113 points to 110. That is the latest sport for you.